In our Hawaii Garden and Forest segment, we turned our attention to a noted public garden and historic estate in Northern California with Hawaii ties. If the name Lurline is familiar, you may know it as the name of a street in the Manalani Heights neighborhood on Oahu in a nod to Hawaii's shipping industry. But it was also the name of the daughter of shipping magnate Captain William Matson, who secured Failoli Gardens for all to enjoy. We visited there recently and sat down with CEO Kara Newport to talk about the history of the formal Golden Age garden that Lurline Matson Roth helped develop on the 647-acre site. The Woodside, California property was home to two prominent families, William Bourne, who made his money during the gold rush, and William and Lurline Matson Roth of the Matson Shipping Company.
Failoli Estate in Woodside, California is a 100-year-old estate that was first built by the Bourne family, William Bowers Bourne, and he was the part of the gold mining to begin with, and then became part of Spring Valley Water. So he was associated with water and utilities and public utilities and things like that. So he built the house with his wife and in 1917. And then in 1937, the Roth family, who is part of the Matson family, purchased the home. And they purchased it from the Bournes, fully furnished. They actually already had a home in Woodside, the Waiwuri Farm. But they wanted a home for their family and for entertaining, and really they wanted a ballroom for their daughter's debut ball. They had twin daughters, Lurline and Brennis, were their twin daughters. So they had their debut ball in the ballroom here at Failoli. So the Matson line, I think everybody knows the story about the Matson line and how that made the connection really between San Francisco and Hawaii. But the Roth family had a home in Hawaii as well, and that connection was really strong. But they really established that connection between San Francisco and Hawaii and had a love for both places. And I think you saw that through their homes, both here and in Hawaii. So it was something that came through a lot. And in fact, we just had our first gala last year, and our theme for that gala, fundraising gala, was Pacific Paradise in honor of the Hawaiian connection. And we had a Hawaiian chef who helped with the food for that from Liholiho Yacht Club. So we're still celebrating the connection to the islands.
And so talk about the challenges of having a house museum, because this was really a home for two families, and it's now a public garden,
right?
But it's also a museum.
Yes. So in 1975, the Roth family generously gave the house and the gardens to the National Trust for Historic Preservation. And at that time, then, it was opened as a house museum. So really, what I love about this estate is that it has been in continuous operation for over 100 years now. And that isn't typical. Usually, a house museum falls into disrepair and goes through many hands, and then it becomes a house museum. And then people have to revive it. But because it was this continuum, because the Roths had the foresight to see that, you know, it needed to be held in public trust, we being Failoli Center, the nonprofit, pick up and just begin operating that as a house museum and garden. We're probably better known as a public garden, which is a great that's really greatly attributed to Lurline Roth, who had an eye for gardening and really developed the gardens during her time. And that's really continued. So the garden continued to evolve and grow. And, you know, we have climate change, so we have to think about what we're planting. So, you know, that historic landscape evolves over time. And then the house has evolved as well. The house was given to the trust empty. And so over time, there were many, many different things considered, you know. Should it be a bed and breakfast? Should it be many things? But it became a house museum. And so over that time, we've been recollecting items back into our collection to represent both eras. Because, again, the Roth family purchased it furnished. So there was a great history of, we have photos from both families that the rooms are virtually identical. So the Roths kept a lot of the look and feel of the rooms and just added their own touches, especially from their world travels, and that their personal fingerprint was on it. But from our perspective, it's really great because we can just take those pictures from the past and work through recreating the rooms.
And you have an exhibit currently, Nests, I think, because we were driving up, we saw the wonderful the forms out in the gardens up front.
Right, the floating nests, right. So so as Filoli has, you know, we're a nonprofit. We developed a strategic plan last year for the next 5 years and really realized that we need to be relevant for a current audience and we need to find ways to connect to a current audience. And one of those ways that we thought of is by telling more stories. You know, we tell great stories about the Boren family and the Roth family, but let's tell the stories about the other people who created home here at Filoli and the people who really built Filoli. So we've been digging through the archives and really pulling out the stories of the different people who worked at Filoli over the years and telling those stories in a different way. And then you mentioned the actual nests. We also have an exhibition of nests on the property that are artistic nests inspired by nature. And really we wanted to reflect the people, plants, and animals who have called Filoli home. So who created home here? And at any given time, we learned there could have been 4 or 5 or 6 languages spoken at Filoli. It was actually a very diverse group of people that lived and worked here together.
Yeah, as I was looking at the exhibits in the gallery downstairs, you had, I think, wonderful imagery on the wall. I think there were a couple of gals from Japan. There were some also from Europe. The immigrant stories.
Right, exactly. And that's really, you know, we also have an art exhibition in our visitor center that's about women and birds and migration and, you know, how we've all in some ways migrated from different places. I moved here from North Carolina. So, you know, even if it isn't from around the world, everyone kind of has a migration story, if not an immigration story. But we have some pretty compelling immigration stories in our history. People came from different parts of the world just for these jobs. We had a Japanese butler. We had several Chinese cooks and chefs. And it was really, you know, very diverse. We had Italian and Hungarian gardeners. So people from all over the world working together and, you know, again, speaking different languages and, you know, really working out how to work together through that, kind of like we are today.
Going forward, I mean, the exhibit right now, you've got the theme of the nest and the people who helped to create the nest and the feeling in this home museum and public gardens. And really, I think that's side of the story that if folks know the Mattson name, they may not be familiar with the things that Lurline Mattson did in this area here in California. But right. The fact that you have a public garden, because the story that I read was they were going to sell the home and then the buyer did not want to make the area public, and that was very important to her.
They were thinking about what to do with this beautiful intact estate. And not only do we have the house and gardens and 125 acres that's owned by the National Trust, the Filoli Center owns an additional 500 acres. So we have a lot of land that's part of the original estate, and 16 acres of it is in formal gardens, English style mostly gardens, and that was really, you know, it was originally the Boren vision structurally, but it was the Mrs. Roth who came in and added her wonderful touches. For example, we have an incredible camellia collection, and that's really, you know, attributable to her. She really loved camellias and brought them in. And so when she was thinking about how to turn this over, you know, to the next owner, the next generation, the people who wanted to buy it had different ideas about it. And she really couldn't imagine not inviting people to come in and see the garden, because she had been doing that for years. She invited people to come to tea in the afternoon. In fact, I believe the story is there was almost an open invitation to come for tea in the afternoon and see the gardens. And she had, you know, wonderful parties here. You know, it was really a place that was for other people. You know, she really wanted other people to enjoy it. And so by bringing in the National Trust, she was able to continue that vision.
And so the foundation here has also opened up the trails. I think there's a number of tours that you can take, you know, with, you know, just you've got the trails and the preserve, and you've got the gardens, and then you have the historic home. So a lot of different themes going on.
And we're even adding more to that. But in the past few years, we've opened up what we call the Estate Trail. We have a nature center, and we consider that, you know, 500-ish acres a nature preserve. And the nature center previously was really used for just school groups. And we thought everybody would love this. So we've opened it up. We have private hikes where you can go into kind of the secret back areas of the estate. We have several miles of trails back there. We also do school programs, and I think that's important, both in the nature preserve, but also in the house and in the garden. So our school programs are able to access all of these different places as well as part of being open and available for the public. And we're finding more and more ways to do that too. And we have a wonderful orchard, and we're doing more events in our orchard. And we're also finding ways to produce more out of our orchard. The orchard was originally there as a cider orchard for the family. And so this year we are for the first time producing hard cider that we'll have available. We've always produced apple butters and jams and had that available from the orchard. So, you know, having people access that more and learn about, you know, both the history of it, but how it's still relevant in production today.
And so you talked about a strategic plan that you folks are working on. So then what's ahead?
So yeah, that's a great question. So what's ahead is kind of just more. You know, we feel like we're on a great path, and you know, everything, our bones are really good. You know, we have really good structural things, but how can we invite more people in? How can we make Failuli more accessible? How can we invite in diverse audiences? One thing that we did last year is we opened the holiday program up. We had a very limited holiday program for 1 week. It was fantastic. But it was always sold out, and so nobody else could come, and then we were closed for 4 months. If you're not from here, San Francisco in the winter is pretty fantastic. If you're from here, you might think it's rainy and cold. But if you're from Minnesota, or like I am from Ohio, it's pretty amazing. So it's green and beautiful and pretty warm. And so we opened up those 4 months and went from a visitation of 10,000 to 40,000 in that same time period. And then we created a new holiday program that has evenings and allows people access to the garden. So it was really more in line with our mission, and not to mention we've used that opportunity to really flex our decorating muscles and are able to bring holiday decor into the house. So just another layer of beauty that we have.
Let's say if folks then want from Hawaii want to come visit, that might be a good time for them.
Absolutely. But I would say Failuli's amazing year-round, and that's the great thing. We're open year-round now. People can, you know, come anytime. We have extended hours in the summer nights. But the other thing I want to mention in our strategic plan is that, you know, one of the challenges you asked me in the beginning of being a historic house and being open is that we age, you know, we're 100 years old. And so even different than 1975, you know, we have quite a few years on us, and things break, and they, you know, they age. And so preservation is really costly. So we have to find ways to continue to invest in preservation and develop resources to invest in it and develop enthusiasm around investing in it. So just this week, we actually renovated one of our rooms, the drawing room, and brought it back to more historically relevant. And that was contributed to by over 60 donors who helped make that one room possible, including a donor who brought back a collection of 30 mezzo tents or prints for the walls. So there are things happening all the time now and year round, and it's not just the garden, and it's not just events, it's in the house. And that's part of our strategic plan, is just to keep things fresh and active and alive and interesting. You know, we want people to come back again and again.
That was Failuli CEO Karen Newport. The Nest exhibit at Failuli runs through November. And if you were wondering about the name Failuli, well, its roots are with the slogan, fight for a just cause, love your fellow man, and live a good life. We'll be exploring more of the Hawaii stories with curator Julie Bly-DeVere, and we plan to talk with one of the many Lurleens of the Mattson family.